Hello, ramblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing. Find me on IG at Rambling and Gambling and email me ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Got my butt kicked last week in round one of the playoffs. Was feeling great going into it. I got crushed. Thankfully, we've had a really good year because Cash or Trash went down last week. Expert Pick went down last week. All I can say, ladies and gents, there's nowhere to go but up. Got a good guest coming on to help us out. We actually had him on back in August for a season preview. He's the creator of the Stat DVOA, and he's the editor-in-chief of Football Outsiders, a total statistical stud who, you know, really is credited with pretty much starting the football analytics movement. Here he is, Aaron Schatz. Aaron, first, a little thank you. Back when you were on, way back when in August, you either suggested or endorsed bets that would later make listeners a few bucks, including you had the under on both the Chargers and Browns win totals, the over on the Raiders, which I remember you being really big one, and that hit easy, and also one that almost got derailed due to COVID there at the end of the season, the Kirk Cousins passing yardage over, which I think I suggested, but you liked a lot. So nice job, my man. It's a pleasure to have you back on.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Yeah, we had a good year. I believe that when it comes to the correlation of projected wins and actual wins, this is like the best year we've ever had. It was really good.
Awesome. That is awesome. So that's a good segue to my next question. Looking back at the always amazing Football Outsiders Almanac, which is a must-read for me every season. And just in case anybody doesn't know, it's this incredibly comprehensive 500-plus page season preview. That was largely what we based that last episode, the last time you were on. What do you think you got most right? And what do you think you were off on a little bit?
I mean, the fact is, you know, we didn't have to be geniuses to know that most of the teams that were really good last year were really good this year. And the thing is, where we were wrong about wins and losses, we tended to be right about the advanced stats. So, for example, Seattle did worse than we expected. But the advanced metrics on Seattle are still really high. So in that way, we were not that off. We were certainly missed Cincinnati's breakout. But Cincinnati doesn't come out that high in the advanced metrics. We didn't, you know, expect the Raiders to make the playoffs, but they don't come out that high in the advanced metrics. I would say that as far as, I mean, you know, the biggest team where we missed as far as advanced metrics go, God, it's hard to tell. I guess the Patriots. I mean, we thought the Patriots would make the playoffs, but we didn't think they would be as good as they were. Like, ignore for a moment the wild card loss, which was terrible, but how they were in the regular season was really, really good. But we had a very accurate year this year. Miami, we were a little low on Miami, but, you know, they eventually made a playoff run by the end of the season. So a little low on Philadelphia. Didn't expect Philadelphia to be making a playoff run, but they did. But overall, it was a really good, really accurate year. They're not all this good.
You guys churn out a ton of content on footballoutsiders.com, which I eat up. I am a subscriber. How does your workload compare regular season versus playoffs, where we are right now?
Oh, I think we do more, a little bit more in the regular season than the playoffs. The fact is, when there's fewer games, you can go more in depth on each game, but in general, there's less content to be written. You know, all the coverage of all the teams, you know, for the most part, we've put aside coverage of the teams that aren't left in the playoffs, except for a little bit of discussion of the coaching carousel. In a couple of weeks, once we get past the Super Bowl, we'll get back hardcore into talking about those teams that didn't make it and how they can improve themselves for next year. But for now, for the most part, we're not discussing, you know, Washington or Atlanta. So, you know, that means a little less work.
Are you looking forward to the off season? Are you going to be sad when it hits? How are you feeling about that?
I mean, it's always sad when there's no more football to watch. As far as work goes, it's just the offseason is just different, right? Like during the season, I have lots and lots of little deadlines and like a real pattern of what I do each day. And once you get to the offseason, it's much more of an amorphous, like, here are some big projects I'd like to do in the next 2 months. But it's not, you know, this is what you do Monday, and this is what you do Tuesday, and this is what you do Wednesday. So in that way, it's less that I'm looking forward to it and more that it's just different. But I mean, you know, it'll be a bummer when there's no more games on Sundays.
Well, thankfully, we still have some games to talk about right now. So let's do some divisional round playoffs. Here's how this is going to work, Aaron. I'm going to give you a game, some odds, a little bit of background, and then just take it absolutely anywhere you want to go. I know we're still early in the week. We're recording this Tuesday afternoon, so no pressure to make a pick or anything like that unless you want to. Let's have some fun. These lines are from FanDuel again as of Tuesday afternoon. First up, Bengals at the Titans. Titans laying 3.5 over under 47. Bengals knocked off the Raiders last weekend. Final score is 26-19, although to me, the game never really felt that close. This was Cincy's first playoff win in 31 years. Really, really bad officiating in that one. ESPN reporting ref Jerome Boger and his crew are not expected to officiate any other games this postseason. As for the Titans, kind of a surprise one seed this playoffs. Finished the season 12-5. Derrick Henry now back. And for the record, gamblers, his anytime touchdown prop, it's minus 180, minus 190-ish, depending on where you look. Seems kind of high to me. Aaron, this is the Saturday 4:30 game. What do you think?
Yeah, so Tennessee is really interesting. By our numbers, Tennessee had the worst regular season, not only of any number one seed since 1983, but of any number one or number two seed since 1983.
Wow.
With an asterisk, because they had a lot of injuries. And I've gone through and done a lot of research trying to figure out the impact of the injuries. I think that the amount of injuries that Tennessee had on defense this year is a bit overstated by their fans. But on offense, there's no question, Henry aside, they were a much different team when they did not have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones both available. They are a far better offense with those guys on the field. So they're not really the worst number one seed ever, even if they had the worst regular season of any number one seed ever. Now, Cincinnati is also very low in our numbers for a team that makes the divisional round. Now, they only came out 15th, I believe, for the regular season. If you include their playoff win, they're 13th in our weighted numbers. Obviously, that's a little affected by the Week 18 game where they sat their starters. So they should be a little bit higher than that, but they're not as high as you might think. Their defense is very mediocre and their offense is really predicated on the big play. They take a lot of sacks, like a lot. It's a really high risk, high reward offense. So combine those two things with the power of the bye week. And I really kind of like the Titans in this game, even though I'm like the leader on the internet of the anti-Titans brigade when it comes to winning the Super Bowl. I think the Titans have a really good shot at this game. And I actually think this line is a little too low.
I was really surprised. It was only 3.5. I thought we were going to get up 4.5, 5 range.
Yeah, I think when you consider what the Titans offense is like when they've got all the pieces, and they do have all the pieces for this weekend, that they, and then when you consider the historical value of having that bye week, I would expect would have expected the line to be more like 5. Yeah.
By the way, I mentioned Cincy hadn't won a playoff game in 31 years. That is actually the third longest span between playoff wins. Lions went 34 years. The Cardinals went 51
years. Curse of the Pottsville Maroons. Yep.
There you go, man. Saturday, 8:15 game, San Fran at Green Bay. Packers laying 5.5 over under 47.5. Niners knocked off Dallas last week. Game went down to the wire. The Dak slide at the end flummoxed me. I don't get it. Whatever. I do think it's really interesting how this team uses Deebo Samuel, who's just awesome. Per Next Gen Stats, he lined in the backfield on 13 snaps last game, rushed for 63 yards and a touchdown on 9 carries. And he's lined up in the backfield now on at least 10% of his snaps in 9 straight games. This is ostensibly a wide receiver. Green Bay, the one seed. Aaron, you guys over at Football Outsider have them as the team most likely to win the Super Bowl. Unless I'm mistaken, I think you guys give them a 19.6% chance of winning it all.
We do. Yep, yep.
Let's talk about this game, and then I want to go on a little tangent about the rest of your Super Bowl rankings. So first, what do you think about San Francisco, Green Bay?
Here's the problem for the Packers. The problem for the Packers is their run defense is weak. So San Francisco is going to be able to run on them with a lot of Deebo Samuel, but also Elijah Mitchell. So I think that Green Bay's defense is not really that good. Like Tennessee, Green Bay has suffered a lot of injuries this year. And like Tennessee, they're getting the guys back now. So Za'Darius Smith, the pass rusher, is supposed to be back for this game. Jair Alexander, the cornerback, is supposed to be back for this game. But at least without those guys during the regular season, the Green Bay defense was very mediocre. And San Francisco is pretty hot right now. But when Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers at quarterback and not Jordan Love, they're the best offense in the league this year. So I think you're going to end up with a shootout in this game. And I mean, I do think that Aaron Rodgers can overcome the problems on the Green Bay defense, but this game is probably closer than you think. I think the reason why it's Green Bay minus six is the bye week, right? The bonus from the bye week.
Yeah.
I think that line is pretty close to reality and I would not bet it. Like, I think it's pretty close to what the line should be.
So we mentioned how Green Bay has a 19.6% chance to win it all, according to the Football Outsiders rankings. Here's the rest of the top five. Kansas City, 19.1% chance. Buffalo, 17.2%. Tampa, 15.3%. Tennessee, 10%. Help me put that into a little bit of context here, Aaron. Dig a little deeper for me into those
numbers. Sure. I mean, home field advantage. Green Bay and Tampa have home field. In the AFC, it's just Buffalo and Kansas City are just much better than Tennessee and Cincinnati. Like, I apologize to the Tennessee fans, and yes, they're better when their guys are healthy, but I think even if you account for what Tennessee should be like when everybody's healthy, they are simply not as good this season as Kansas City and Buffalo. I know that sounds weird. They beat both Kansas City and Buffalo, but you do not judge teams based on a single game. You judge teams based on their entire resume, and the entire resume of Tennessee is not as impressive as Kansas City or Buffalo. And that's why we have Kansas City and Buffalo with much higher chances of winning it all.
Season preview, I remember you were extremely bullish on Tampa, and to an extent, you still are. I mean, 15.3% chance, given the fourth best chance at winning it all. Have you come off them a little bit because of the injuries and everything else we've seen with them this season?
Yes, their offense has declined a bit in recent weeks. I think that can be tagged to the injuries. I think that not having either Godwin or Brown is a little bit of an issue. Their offense, it looked like a blowout against the Eagles because of what Tampa did so well early, but honestly, their offense was not that spectacular against the Eagles. And I do think that they miss those guys. I mean, they may have beaten the Eagles by a lot, but I don't think that proves that they don't miss those guys.
Let's keep talking about Tampa. Sunday games, 3:00, Rams at Tampa. Bucks are laying 3, over under 48.5. Rams handled the Cards easy Monday night, beat them 34-11. Here's a good one. This was Matt Stafford's first playoff win, and per ESPN stats and info, his 323 career touchdown passes were the most in NFL history by a quarterback who had never won a playoff game. Number two was Sonny Jurgensen, who had 255 touchdown passes before winning one. Back to the Bucs. They also made, like you said, easy work of the Eagles last weekend. ESPN says Jalen Hurts was the 28th different quarterback Tom Brady has beaten in the playoffs. Nobody else has knocked off more than 15 quarterbacks, which is what Joe Montana did. Aaron, for this one, what do you got?
Well, all Brady playoff statistics are absurd. So you just give all of them and they're all ridiculous. Tampa Bay's offense, like I said, is on the decline, and the Rams defense is on the rise. Now, the Rams offense has been on the decline. It didn't look like it against the Cardinals, but overall over the last few weeks, their offense has been on the decline, but their defense has been gradually improving. I think a lot of it depends on the health of the Tampa Bay offensive line. Tristan Wirfs, especially the right tackle, will he be able to go or not? I think this is a pretty even matchup. Right now we're on games where neither team has the bye week advantage. So there's just home field advantage. And we know that home field advantage has been less this year than in the past. It looks like home field advantage was not zero this year, but it was only like 1 point, not the usual 3 points that we always think of it as. So I think this is a really close matchup that really could go either way.
Sounds like you're waiting to see the injury report towards the end of the week before betting this either way.
Yeah, I think also there's an interesting schematic matchup in this game because Jalen Ramsey, like, do you put him on Mike Evans or do you put him on Gronk? Because the biggest weakness right now of the Rams is safeties. You do not want one of these backup safeties or a 37-year-old Eric Weddle covering Gronk. So maybe Ramsey covers Gronk, and then can they cover Evans? But the problem with Tampa Bay has is then after Evans, you're dropping like Tyler Johnson and Rashad Perriman and stuff, and those guys are not Chris Godwin or Antonio Brown.
I know you're, you know, a stats guy, cold, hard facts guy, but do you buy any of this? Just Tom Brady just does not lose. Tom Brady's got the mojo talk.
No, Tom Brady doesn't lose because he's good.
Right, right.
Like, I mean, I don't believe that there are certain players who raise their game in the playoffs. What I believe is that there are certain players who lower their game in the playoffs, right? In other words, the standard belief is that most players can't handle the playoffs and that there's a few special ones who can. Mm-hmm. My belief is the opposite. I think that there are a few who do have problems with the pressure of the playoffs, but most guys can handle it. I mean, yeah, we feel like Brady just does not lose, but I remember John Brady playing really, really well, but his defense gave up so many points that he lost the Super Bowl to Nick Foles. And I remember Tom Brady against the Rams with 13 points in the Super Bowl, but he won because his defense was really good. So, I mean, Tom Brady doesn't have special mojo as much as just Tom Brady is really good and really good players win games. But there are a lot of really good quarterbacks left in the playoffs. And there's a lot of really good players in the Los Angeles Rams, starting with Aaron Donald, who's going to be looking Brady in the face all day.
One more of these crazy Brady playoff stats before we move on. Did you know Brady and Gronk have the most touchdown passes by a duo in playoff history? They have 15 touchdown passes between the two. You want to see if you can guess the next two duos on the list?
I wouldn't be surprised if one of them is also Brady.
That's a good guess. He's not.
Okay. Rice and Montana.
Bingo. That's number two. I got that one. I did not get the third.
Manning and Harrison.
Good guess, but no, it's Favre and Antonio Freeman. Antonio Freeman caught 10 from Favre.
That's good.
Not bad. Last game of the week. I am so excited for this one. Maybe you and I will go a little bit longer on this one. Sunday, 6:30, Buffalo at KC. Chiefs laying 2.5, over under 54.5. Buffalo, of course, crushed New England last week, wasn't close. You had a great column about just how incredible this Buffalo offense was last week. I believe you ranked it the third best DVOA game, offensive DVOA game since 1983, and the sixth best overall. Did I get that right?
Sixth best overall playoff game. Third playoff best game. Offensive game overall. Sixth best overall playoff game if you include defense and special teams. They were amazing. They were unbelievable. And we should take that into consideration. But don't put too much weight on it, right? It was the most recent game, and it was an amazing game, but it was still just one game out of the 18 we've seen Buffalo play. This is no question the preeminent matchup of the week. Buffalo is our number one team right now. Kansas City does have the home field advantage. And the problem with Buffalo is they are ridiculously inconsistent. They have had some games this year where they are terrible, and they cannot have one of those in the playoffs. To win the Super Bowl, they need four big, awesome games in a row, and they have not done that this year. So overall, they're really, really good. They are going to have to show some consistency that they just haven't shown this year. Whereas Mahomes, he had that slump in the middle of the year, but for the most part, he's very consistent. You get star Mahomes pretty much every week. So, I mean, this is an awesome, listen, I'm sorry. You can't say 100% that this is the real AFC championship game because the Titans or Bengals do have a shot the following week, but this is the real AFC championship game. Like the way they used to have, the Sports Illustrated used to put Dallas and San Francisco on the cover and say the real Super Bowl. Like this is the real AFC championship game.
I'm leaning towards playing Buffalo myself. However, I look at the performances in particular. I mean, of course, the whole season, but last week. So last week you have Mahomes throwing 5 touchdowns in, I think it was like 11 minutes, 31 seconds. It's less than half the amount of time that I think the number two guy, Brady, did it in, the 5 touchdowns in a playoff game back in 2011. But to me, as much of an outlier as that performance would seem to be, it seems like that might be stickier given what the Chiefs have done this season, given Mahomes' history, than Josh Allen and the Bills just absolutely decimating New England. You talked about their inconsistency issues, even though Allen did also throw for 5 touchdowns last week. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's the thing. Mahomes, yes, he dipped in the middle of the season, but Mahomes is very consistent. Allen is not. The highs are just as good for both. And frankly, I know that the Chiefs defense has been better over the second half of the year. And I know that the Bills defense is missing Tre'Davious White. Doesn't matter. The Bills defense is better than the Chiefs defense. But the problem is with Allen is that there's just the wide range of possibilities where with Mahomes, you're pretty sure of what you're going to get. I do think it's a positive that they're using Allen's legs more. Right. I think that will come in handy against the Kansas City pass rush and against the blitzes that Steve Spagnuolo likes to send. I would love this line if it was Buffalo +3. +2.5 is not quite as good, but our projected line for this game is 0.
A pick 'em.
Total, complete pick 'em.
That's pretty incredible. So basically what you're saying then, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're not, if you are factoring in the home field advantage for KC, then you're saying Buffalo is the better team.
We have Buffalo as a little bit better, just a little bit better than Kansas City this year, especially if you wait towards recent games. So I would like Buffalo in the points, but I'd like Buffalo in the points more if there was an extra half a point there.
That makes sense. Do you think either of these defenses is going to be able to stop the opposing offense?
I think no. I think as good as the Bills defense is and as good as the Chiefs defense has been in recent weeks, I think we're going to see a shootout. And a lot of people are suggesting, even though the over under is really high, going over, and I probably would suggest going with the over also. I think you're going to see a shootout. Yes.
I mean, right now, you know, as of this recording Tuesday afternoon, FanDuel's like the only 54.5 left on the board. Pretty much everybody else has this at 55. That's a very high total, in particular for a playoff game.
I agree. But doesn't it feel like it's going to go over that? I mean,
it does. And I'm about to bring this back up in the next section of this podcast as well. I think it's going to be an over too. By the way, per NFL research, this is going to be the first playoff game in NFL history between quarterbacks who each threw 5+ touchdowns in their previous playoff game.
What I do not want is to come out on Sunday afternoon and we get the bad Josh Allen. That won't be any fun. Like, you've got to get the good Josh Allen.
I'm with you. Before we move on, of all these games, what is the one bet that you are most confident in for this weekend? It can be a side, it can be a total, it can be whatever.
Huh. Okay. Of all 4 games, what is the bet that I'm most confident in? This is going to sound really crazy, given all the things I've been saying about Tennessee as the worst number one seed. I think Tennessee -3.5.
You're a Titans hater.
I know I am a Titans hater, but I just feel like the benefit of the bye week and the fact that Cincinnati by our numbers is not as strong as people think they are. Like, the last few weeks, their offense has been amazing, but it's so predicated on those deep throws. If they don't get the big plays, like, they get put in bad down and distance situations by sacks a lot. I think if you had to make me go with either an over under or an against the spread from these 4 games, I think I would go with the Tennessee. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you've not steered me wrong before. I'm going to tell you on that one. And I kind of like it. I like your logic. Bengals, little glitz and glamour team, kind of boom or bust. Doesn't Tennessee just feel like the kind of team that could just knock you in the nose and keep on going?
They've won a lot of close games over good teams this year. I doubt that they blow out the Bengals. I think my favorite bet might be Bills plus three, depending on what the odds were that I could get on Bills plus three. But since the actual line is 2.5, I'd rather go with the Titans.
All right, my man, it is time for a segment we are calling Cash or Trash. Here's how it works. I'm going to give you a bet I'm thinking about making. I'll tell you why I like it. You tell me, very simple, whether it is cash or trash. Sound good?
I have not researched these ahead of time, so I'm just going off the top of my head. Let's go with it.
Yeah, trust me, I have not done extensive research on this either, if I'm being honest, but I do really like this bet. All right, here it is. This week, I am taking Bills tight end Dawson Knox to score a touchdown. Doesn't have to be the first touchdown. It is an anytime touchdown, and I'm getting it at plus 200. So we're getting it at 2-1 on FanDuel. Here's why I like it. Number one, expect a ton of TDs in this one. We just talked about it. The over-under is a monster 55 in most places right now. Knox had 9 regular season touchdowns. He had another 2 against the Steelers last week. He also had one when the Bills played the Chiefs back in October. Clearly, Knox is one of Josh Allen's favorite red zone targets. He probably is the favorite red zone target, and I expect them to be in the red zone a lot during this one. So there it is. I'm taking Dawson Knox to score a touchdown. I'm getting it at 2-1. Aaron, let me have it. I can take it. Don't go easy. Also, if you could, please answer this as dramatically sounding as you can. Is this one cash or trash?
I'm going with trash.
All right, great. And thank you for the pause, because then we can put the sound effect in at the end. Why is this bet trash? By the way, real quick. Nice delivery. Nobody has taken me seriously when I've said that so far. Really nice job. Take it away. Why is this trash?
You said to make it dramatic.
You nailed it.
I don't think the odds are good enough. Kansas City's defense is average against tight ends. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a lot of Tyrann Mathieu covering Knox, like in the red zone. I just don't think that they throw to Knox. Don't be spoiled by the 2 touchdowns that Knox had against the Patriots. In general, I don't think they throw to Knox enough to make 2-1 odds make sense. I think you'd want something more like a 3-1.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Hold on. I'm looking up. Do you have anybody else in mind who you think, you know, the props aren't out yet, right? It's Tuesday. Do you have anybody else in mind in this game, or, you know, or it could be one of the other ones, who you think is a better bet for touchdown scores? And I realize I've not prepped you for this at all. You've not been able to look at the odds. Are there any names? I could give you the numbers.
Devin Singletary.
Minus 115, anytime touchdown.
It's not great odds, but the thing is, it's not just rushing. Kansas City is not good against running backs as receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a good shot. You have all the chances of a running touchdown, plus you have a bit of a good shot at a receiving touchdown too.
Okay. I like it. By the way, a little cleanup here. I'm just realizing now, I think I said that he scored 2 against the Steelers last week. Thank you for correcting me. They did not.
Yes, the Patriots.
The Patriots. Thank you. You knew what I meant. All right. Can we wrap this up with some semi-random quick hitters? You take as long as you want. I just don't want to take up too much of your time.
Sure.
All right, here we go. You guys had a fun special Super Bowl matchup post. I love this type of content. I'm going to read through a few that I liked, and then I'm hoping you can elaborate on it a little bit, Aaron. Super Bowl I rematch would be Green Bay versus Kansas City. He said it has a 13.4% chance of happening. Gronk homecoming. He's from Buffalo. So Tampa versus Buffalo, 9.3% chance. One more that stuck out to me. Chris Berman's dream, you guys called it. I like that one. San Fran versus Buffalo, 5.3%. Where did the idea for this column come from? And give me like a quick, like, how are you coming up with these percentages? I liked it. It was good
reading. This is how many times in our playoff odds, you know, every week we simulate the rest of the season 50,000 times. And this is how often this Super Bowl matchup comes up in our playoff odds. And it started with, well, let's just see how often every rematch comes up. And then we realized that there were a lot of certain Super Bowls that were sort of special because they were like coach against his old team, or, you know, Tom Brady against the Patriots or something like that. So we put together this whole list of special Super Bowls, and we add to it during the season so that we come up with more interesting names for the possible Super Bowls. I like the Matt LaFleur reunion special.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Green Bay and Tennessee, we currently give that a 9.7% chance. and what I call the Bryce Pop Classic.
Yeah, you're going to have to explain that one to me.
Green Bay and Buffalo. Bryce Pop was a pass rusher who played for both Green Bay and Buffalo in the late 80s, early 90s. It is hard sometimes to think of connections between these teams.
Uh-huh. I like it.
You end up like, who was a player that people know who played for both of these teams back in the day? Like New Orleans, Kansas City is called the Willie Rofe Classic.
Mm-hmm.
So Green Bay Buffalo is the Bryce Pop Classic, and we give that one an 11.1% chance of happening.
Dallas finished the season as the number one team in DVOA. Yep. What got them to the top of the rankings, and what went wrong for them in the playoffs?
What got them to the top is they were just overall really good. When they played good teams, they lost a few of those games, but they lost them close. And when they played bad teams, they clobbered them, like Atlanta, they just destroyed, and Washington, they just destroyed. They got a little bit of a bonus from week 17, the fact that Philadelphia didn't care. So they had a really great week 18, which, it, you know, we acknowledge is against a team that wasn't really trying very hard, but they were a really good all-around team. They were strong on offense. They were strong on defense. Their defense came from out of nowhere to be like our number two defense of the year. They were just a really good overall all-around team. And we're not the only people who had them number one. Like Simple Rating System at Pro Football Reference had them number one also. I mean, what got to them, you know, some of it is just, you know, random variation. Sometimes you just have a bad day. Some of it is San Francisco was a particularly bad matchup for Dallas, because what were Dallas's two weaknesses on defense? They had two weaknesses. One, the running game. And two, they gave up lots of yards after the catch. And what is San Francisco's offense good at? The running game and yards after the catch. It was the worst possible matchup for Dallas. And then I think you have to blame the coaching a little bit. I don't know what the deal was with that last play. I don't think it should have been called. I think 14 seconds was not enough to make that slide and get the ball snapped with the spike. I don't think it was enough time. But even if it was, clearly they didn't practice the play enough because they screwed it up and they didn't get the ball to the umpire to spot it. So they ended up running out of time. So that was a mess.
Let's say they had made that work the way I assume they envisioned. So they pick up an extra, I don't know, 14, 15 yards. Now they have one shot at the end zone from whatever it was, 25 yards, as opposed to two, yeah, maybe even three from like 40 yards out. Does that, if that had worked out, do you see that as a valuable trade, the time off the clock, the number of the plays, yes, to be that much closer? So if it had worked out, you actually would have supported that?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think that the odds of completing a Hail Mary pass are so low. Plus the odds that the first one is intercepted, which means you never get a second chance. That I would rather take the chance of that. I'm guessing that the 25 yard pass converts like 20% of the time. And the Hail Mary is like 2 or 3%.
Even from 40 yards out, it's that low.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. That's interesting.
Yeah. You'd much rather run standard routes. The problem is 14 seconds was not enough time to make it work, to make that play work.
Gotcha. One of your big takes when we did the initial season preview was that Matt Stafford wasn't actually that big of an upgrade over Jared Goff. Did the stats bear that out this year? Stafford started really hot, but then he did get pretty inconsistent and got banged up through the year.
Yeah. The funny thing is that take looked awful early in the season. And then by late in the season, that take looked a lot better, but it didn't look better because Jared Goff was better than you think. It looked better because Matthew Stafford was worse than you think. So Matthew Stafford's performance this year ends up looking kind of like the best Jared Goff did with the Rams in 2018. So I think that I would say that that take ended up being a little bit wrong because Goff was worse in Detroit than expected. But it wasn't that far off from the truth. I do think that people overestimated the value that Stafford would bring to the Rams. And Detroit was not as bad as its record. They had a lot of weird close losses, like Justin Tucker kicking a record field goal against them.
I bet that they would go over 4.5 wins. We talked about that back in the day. Yeah,
that was one of my bets. That one did not hit.
I realize it looks terrible now, but honestly, you watch them throughout the season.
Didn't they look like a team that should have won 5 or 6 games? Yeah.
They did, and there were a lot of close losses. They did a lot of stupid stuff late in the game. It was not as – if you actually watch those games, which I did kind of painfully, it was not as far off as people may think.
The problem is there's no star quarterback on the horizon. Otherwise, I'd be like, Detroit is a team to watch for next year. But they have the number 2 pick in a draft with no great quarterback prospects, and I think they're going to have to run Goff out there again next year.
What do you think of the coach?
I like the coach a lot. He's nice and aggressive, and I think his whole biting kneecaps thing works. Just because we don't have stats that can measure player motivation doesn't mean that player motivation doesn't exist, right? They're called intangibles because they're intangible. Like, you can't measure them, so we don't try to. But clearly, he has got something going on when it comes to player motivation, and they love to play for him, and that's a real positive.
One of the bets you tried to talk me out of, this is a total homer question, by the way. One of the bets you tried to talk me out of that I did not listen to and ended up losing money on was the Washington football team. I had them going over 8.5 wins. You were pretty clearly like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I did it anyway. How does the future look as a WFT fan over here? At least actually until February 22nd, when they are set to launch.
Yes, their new name, which will also probably be Washington football team.
Right.
The defense collapse, I don't think anybody expected. We didn't expect. I thought their defense would regress. I did not think it was. Regression means you come closer to average.
Right.
It doesn't mean you all of a sudden suck.
Right.
So their offense was a little better than expected, but Tyler Heinicke has a long career ahead of him as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a starting quality quarterback. I do not think the situation looks good for Washington for next year. I think their defense should rebound a bit and be better. But if they're going to go into next year with Heinicke as the quarterback, there's no way they have an above average offense. And it just doesn't look like a promising to me. They're sort of stuck in that quarterback. They need a young quarterback in a year where they're going to have to take a shot at some young quarterback who's not considered a great prospect. The 2023 draft, on the other hand, has a lot of good quarterback prospects. But 2022, no.
Is there a team that, and I know it's early and we have, you know, free agency in the draft and all that still to come. Is there a team that missed the playoffs this year that you are initially high on for next year?
Oh, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Why?
Love Staley as a head coach. Love his aggressiveness. The most consistent and predictive thing in football is the performance of the passing game. And the Chargers had an awesome passing game. Their problems were everything else.
Hmm.
And we knew, this is why we didn't think the Chargers were as good as people thought they were going into the season, that it would take time for Staley to get the type of defensive personnel that could really run his scheme well. And now they have another offseason to bring in a few new defensive pieces. That defense is going to be better next year, and I don't see any reason to expect that the offense is not going to be the same. So they definitely are a playoff contender for next year.
You recommended under 9.5 wins for them this year. You barely hit it, but you did hit. It sounds like next year it's leaning towards a very
confident. I'm going to guess next year that we would be over that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, very interesting. Kind of random one here. Our listeners do tend to like book recommendations from guests like yourself. I saw the other day you commented, it was an ESPN article about a book that I believe you said helped launch your career.
Yeah, it was actually The Athletic.
Oh, The Athletic, sorry. Okay.
The Athletic, about hidden game of football, which
well,
is
I mean,
the
what
book
is
that
it?
Inspired
it
me.
It,
the book that inspired me to create DVOA was Hidden Game of Football. Like, all my initial ideas came out of that book.
Give me the backstory.
I picked it up in a bookstore in Jersey, visiting a friend off the remainder pile, but it's just no one had ever really written about football like Bill James before until they did that book, and they had this whole idea of success rates. The idea that you measure the success on a play based on the down and distance. And I had never heard of anything like it. And so I was like, I'm going to create a stat that's based around this. And that's where DVOA started. So I mean, I don't know how much people would get from it now, because what's happened in football analytics since 1997 is so far advanced from where that book was. But I mean, that book was hugely important to me.
Is there any, do you have any reading recommendations now for listeners by chance?
Not really. The fact is, in the modern world, the best stuff is online. I mean, my biggest recommendation is to read our book, because we still do a preseason book every year. But for the most part, the great analytics in sports are done online. I mean, people on Twitter post these long threads full of great analysis where I'm like, don't you want to write this up in an article somewhere where people, you know, where it's sort of saved for perpetuity? On Twitter, it sort of disappears into the ether after
right. that.
Online is where you need to be to get the best of sports analytics right now, really.
Eight teams
and buy our book. And buy our book. You have to buy our book.
I as you know, I love your book. I mean, I really do. Especially like if you are not super duper, if you're just like a casual football fan during the off season, the Football Outsiders Almanac is an amazing way to pick it back up right before the season starts and really get that like in-depth look at how your team and every other team is doing. Eight teams left this playoffs. Give me one prediction that might surprise people.
The only thing that would surprise people at this point is that I like Tennessee this week.
Are you?
The fact is, I think what everybody says about this year is true, which is that no one or two teams stood out. So there's no clear one or two Super Bowl favorites. It really could be. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Cincinnati, and I honestly don't think it'll be Tennessee either. Any of the four remaining teams could make the Super Bowl from the NFC, and I would not be surprised. And either Buffalo or Kansas City would make it from the AFC, and I would not be surprised. Tennessee or Cincinnati would surprise me.
If you have to pick one team to win it all right now, though, you're going with Packers?
I would go with the Packers as having the best chance, yes.
Anything else I'm missing, man? Anything else you want to throw out there?
No. Just, people check out footballoutsiders.com. We have playoff ratings now, playoff DVOA, going all the way back to 1983 that you can research. And in a couple of weeks, we start working on the offseason. We're going to have more draft content than ever before with the Mike Tannier going down to the Senior Bowl, and something we're going to introduce called the Football Outsiders 40, which is going to be our big board of prospects with Mike Tannier and Derek Klassen hosting a weekly live stream talking about the draft once we get into February. So more draft content than before, and then all the good offseason content, and we'll start working on the book, and I'll be working on improvements to the system for next year. And work never ends, man. Football never ends. Football talk never ends.
Never. Aaron Schatz, editor-in-chief of Football Outsiders. Can't thank you enough for coming back on.
Thanks for having me.
To ladies and gents, there it is. We'll be back next Wednesday to preview the conference championships. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing. IG at Rambling and Gambling. Email ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Have a great week, everybody.